We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Remember a few weeks back, Lee, when Jamila Jayapal, she's a Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
She went on MSNBC and admitted that the Democrats are okay with gas prices going up. Prices have to go up for them to accomplish their goals, right? Which is to get people off oil, off gasoline, off carbon-based fuels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to kneecap the economy. Then we have CNN admitting this morning, using the actual word painful, about the transition to wind and solar, that, you know, we're going to be getting rid of carbon-based. It's going to be painful. It's really going to hurt. And they actually published an editorial, but we have to do it. Okay. Well, why doesn't Europe have to do it?
Mm-hmm.
If you've been following what's happened in Europe, it's absolutely fascinating. They tried the whole, hey, let's do wind and solar mainly, and they ended up burning wood chips.
Yeah, because it didn't work. There wasn't enough.
Because it didn't work. And the wood chips pollute more than natural gas, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise they were going to have rolling blackouts. So that is why Europe, and particularly Germany, is so interested in this Nord Stream 2 pipeline so that they can pipe the Russian natural gas. Right in. So in anticipation of that, last week it was announced in Europe that they were loosening their controls on the use of, guess what? Natural gas.
Yeah.
Right? So where are we? The Democrats are right there to make sure they get their natural gas. Well, the policy of Joe Biden is to phase us off of it in a way that CNN says will be painful, quote unquote, by 2035. Why bother if you are out there actively facilitating the Europe's return to the use of carbon-based fuels? Does this bother Democrat voters at all?
Apparently not.
They can't mean a thing they say about climate change. It's almost like when they're running around telling everybody they're going to fine them, you know, members of Congress for not wearing a mask, and then Nancy Pelosi's out at every fundraiser with no mask on.
Yeah.
But you're like, you don't believe in masks. You don't think they work.
And then
AOC wear one.
Goes to Florida, a state
maskless.
And governor she has been demonizing
to
party down there, and maskless, and comes back and apparently tested positive for COVID-19. So there you go.
So if you're one of my liberal trolls, I mean, you have to ask yourself some very serious questions this morning. Why are they helping Russia?
Yeah.
Why are they collaborating with Russia?
I've just got to mention this because it's on my mind. The only common sense person that I'm hearing out of Congress is our own Congressman Jeff Duncan, 3rd District here from the upstate, who's talking about an all-of-the-above approach to energy.
Yeah.
There's no problem with us trying to develop solar and wind power. And he's not opposed to that. It's just that we can't mandate that be the only thing. We should be going for the cleanest that we can burn natural gas, the cleanest that we can use coal, the cleanest that we can do hydroelectric, nuclear energy. Every bit of that should be a part of the mix, because there is no getting around the scientific fact that you can't use solar power at night and you can't use wind power when the wind ain't blowing. There is no amount of science that is ever going to disprove that, because it just doesn't happen. That's a fact. There's no denying that. So you've got to have something that gets you through there. And even if you were able to use enough to have enough energy during the day, you've still got to have a way of storing it for the nighttime or for the cold period.
And we don't. We don't
have
batteries that can do
that. And that technology does not exist
now
or in the foreseeable future. So the only The only sensible, common sense approach to this is we should have an all-of-the-above approach. We should be developing new sources of nuclear energy. We should continue to use hydroelectric power. We should burn coal as cleanly as we possibly can, natural gas as cleanly as we possible can. And we've made incredible, U.S. energy companies have made incredible developments in how cleanly they can burn coal and natural gas compared to where we used to be 40 or 50 years ago. So an all-of-the-above approach is the only sensible solution.
Well, you just described what Europe's going to do, and they're going to kick our butt in manufacturing when they do it, which is why I think the Democrats voted for that. Yesterday, they voted to block a bipartisan bill reimposing sanctions on the Russian pipeline Nord Stream 2. And here's the thing. This gives Russia an unbelievable amount of power over Europe. They just put Russia in the driver's seat of Europe for the next 50 years politically, as well as energy-wise.
And Russia is jacking up the prices of natural gas even as we speak.
And you knew that was coming
because
they've been doing that since the 90s with other countries they have pipelines with. So, I mean, they've been doing that to their former Soviet satellite states. That's how they control them. They're going to do that to Europe, absolutely. So the Democrats, who screamed hysterically that if you even talked to a Russian, you had to recuse yourself from your office, they just put Russia in the driver's seat of Europe with an energy policy they won't let us have that's going to allow Europe to kick our butt in manufacturing.
Mm-hmm, because they'll have some reliable sources of energy, probably cheaper than what we're going to have to deal with.
And all they said was, well, we got to put the Nord Stream 2 in place because we might offend Germany and Russia.
It's like, you're not afraid of climate change anymore?
I guess not, because we're not afraid of... Here's the thing. That whole thing, well, we might offend Russia. We have tanks on their border. I think we've already offended Russia. We lied about Russian interference in our election and accused them of doing horrible things we now know they didn't do. So normally the Democrats don't care about offending Russia at all, so they're lying about that.
Yep.
Can't be telling the truth about that. Can't be about climate change. So it can only be about one thing, making sure they do everything possible to hurt the U.S. economy.
I don't know what other conclusion you can come to.
You can't come to another conclusion. Here's the thing. This is a huge policy shift for that. This is not new. Again, Barack Obama supported keeping the policy in place to block the Nord Stream. Bush did, as did Trump. So this is a newfound love of Vladimir Putin by the Democrats. I'd almost call it collusion. In fact, you almost have to, given the amount of the millions of dollars Hunter took.
No.
From the mayor of Moscow's wife. I mean, you look at it, there's a direct line. Did they buy the president off and now the Democrats are covering for him because they don't give a darn about climate change? Yes, that's there. You can make a very good case for that. It only cost Putin a few million bucks to get the pipeline.
Yeah, that was cheap, wasn't it?
Yeah, it went right up Hunter's nose. So it's probably gone.
And also to his,
yes,
his divorce attorneys.
To the divorce attorneys and the prostitutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody thinks any of this is strange. Yet we had a total national obsession with the fact that Jeff Sessions shook a Russian's hand in a greeting line one time.
And then had to recuse himself.
And then had to recuse himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Joe doesn't have to recuse himself on this issue, even though he took millions of dollars. And by the way, one of my favorite all-time articles is a UK Daily Mail article where they actually called up and said, okay, we'll settle this. We'll call up the mayor of Moscow's family and ask, what were y'all buying for those millions of dollars? And so they get a hold of her brother, who's acting as her spokesperson. He's like, oh, we were buying access to America.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't flat out say it. They don't even hide it.
No.
And the American media just ignores it. So all you trolls who think you're fighting climate change, your party's fighting climate change, I'm here to tell you they're not. Not even close. They're putting Russia in the driver's seat and letting them have the carbon dollars and produce the carbon. They're putting Europe, and this is so important to Germany and France, because they manufacture, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So this is really going to give them the upper hand as Joe kneecaps our energy supply. He's turning on the geyser for theirs, and the Democrats voted for this. So I don't want to hear it from you trolls about climate change. You voted for the Democrats. You voted to use carbon. It's what you voted for.
Well, that was also the problem with the Paris Climate Accord, which Trump got out of, and now Biden's got us back into it. It's because it allows China, India, and other industrialized nations to pollute at will, and then us pay for it.
You can't even make sense of any of this. I feel so bad for those poor Keystone Pipeline guys who are on Fox News every other week crying because they still haven't found a replacement job.
Yeah.
Why aren't they working?
Yeah.
Maybe they should get Russian visas and go there. Joe let you work on that pipeline. Joe's, and that's the thing that sends the jobs there, too.
Yeah, exactly.
To Russia. That's a great deal for Putin. A couple million bucks. Oh, the irony. Yeah, but, I mean, you know, the left keeps their followers stupid. They have no idea that this is going on, I bet you.
No. Well, if they do, they just simply ignore it.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
If you disagree with Joe Biden, and only 33% of Americans actually do agree with Joe Biden, why, you are a domestic enemy, he said. It was too much for even some Democrats to take, including Al Sharpton, who condemned the speech, as did Dick Durbin. And calling the vast majority of the country domestic enemies, the overwhelming majority of the country domestic enemies, was not mere political rhetoric for the Democrats, given the week in which they said it, in which Joe said it, where we saw the DOJ, the Department of Injustice, launch a new domestic terror unit to go after not just dangerous Americans or people who want to hurt America or hurt people in America, but specific kind of people, right-wing people, people on the right. So if you're a left-winger, just to be clear, and you want to hurt America, or maybe you already did hurt America. Maybe you helped participate in burning all those cities back in the summer of love. They are not interested in you, just so you know. No interest whatsoever. Your kind of deadly damage is just fine. In fact, it's celebrated. The Democrat Party might even raise money to bail you out of jail, so you could go back and burn another block. Folks, people need to listen to what they're saying. They need to listen to this, which is one thing to call those who disagree with you domestic enemies because they don't want to do away with the very filibuster that your leadership suggested we keep in place just a few years ago. It's another thing entirely when they use that kind of rhetoric in the very week they are launching units to spy on and go after you. The very people who, it turns out, wrote a letter to justify using the Patriot Act against parents who merely criticize left-leaning school board members. They're not joking. They are openly turning the apparatus of the federal government, particularly its intel agencies, against the American people, against specifically those who disagree with them. And that group gets bigger and bigger every day with Joe Biden's declining numbers. So Nancy Pelosi was asked specifically about this. About the idea that, you know, Joe's speech was a little bit divisive, don't you think? I mean, you know, calling people that you disagree with your domestic enemies. I mean, was that going maybe a little too far, Nance? What do you think she said? No, it's wonderful. Well, it was great. It was great. No, I thought it was a wonderful speech, she said. Nah, did it go too far? Oh, heck no. No. No, it was great fun. Everybody who disagrees with us is our enemy and should be pursued by our friends in the FBI, apparently. American people better wake up about these people. They're plum nuts and they're really scary. And they are daily weaponizing the federal government against people they disagree with. Here's Nancy Pelosi taking that question.
And do you think that the president may have gone a little bit too far in trying to sell this particular bill to the American people and trying to get votes to try and get this passed by a breaking the filibuster?
No, I stand with the president. I think that I thought his speech was wonderful, and I stand with him in the fight for voting rights. No criticism of Mr. Durbin. He has to do what he has to do vis-a-vis his own members and the rest.
No, it was great. Now, I totally want to throw everybody in jail who disagrees with us. Yeah, they're domestic enemies. If you disagree with us, total domestic enemy. We'll stick the FBI on them. We already have. Meanwhile, some polling numbers in. These are telling, and they're good news, too. You want to know why the mainstream media is in such a hurry to censor you? And why the Democrats, like Joe Biden's speech yesterday, such a hurry to demand social media tamp down on misinformation? Because they can't use the media the way they used to anymore. This poll, the numbers are unbelievable. It was a new survey conducted by News Nation Decision Desk HQ. And it asked participants, when it comes to information about COVID-19, which of the following sources would you say you trust? Anthony Fauci. Just 31% trust him. I'm surprised it's that high. He's contradicted almost everything he's ever told us about COVID. And the rest, I'm sure, is coming. Federal health authorities like the CDC and FDA. This is surprisingly high, too, at 49.8%. President Biden. Who trusts him on COVID? Almost no one. Just 15% of the public. Wow. Now, here's the kicker, and I love this one. The news media. How many Americans trust the news media on COVID? A whopping 10.2%. 10.2%. Wow. The numbers are even more staggering when one considers that 73.9% of the respondents to the survey were vaccinated. So at some point, they believed somebody nationally and went and got the vaccine. By the way, a majority of Americans, 51.8%, now believe the pandemic will never be over. What does it say if you think the pandemic will never be over? It says you don't think anything we're doing now will work. It's all bunks, useless. Or almost useless. Just 30% of Americans now think the pandemic will be over in a year. So, you know what that is, folks? I mean, yeah, that's a commentary on the pandemic and the lies we've been told and the misdirections and all of that. But it's also a crumbling society. A society that doesn't trust its institutions and doesn't trust its information sources. That's a recipe for chaos. And that's where we are. That's where we are. All right. Up next, we're going to get an update on the weather that is coming. Looking like Monday and maybe even Tuesday could be a little dicey. We will check back in with a meteorologist in just a few. To snow or not to snow? How bad will it be? Yeah. This is your Should You Panic segment. Should you panic? We'll ask meteorologist Michael Caro that with Weatherology. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Well, I wouldn't panic, but I would be well prepared, at least. Let's call it that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So what can we expect here in the upstate over the weekend?
Yeah, for the upstate, kind of a mixed bag of precipitation there, especially from late Saturday night into the day on Sunday. We will have some accumulating snow, but not quite the heaviest that they'll see across the upper elevations close to the North Carolina border and into northeastern portions of Georgia, where they could pick up maybe as much as a foot of snow or maybe even some isolated higher totals in those very highest to peaks up that way. But yeah, closer to our neck of the woods, Greenville, Spartanburg, probably closer to that 2 to 4 inch range as far as the snow accumulations. Another concern, too, I think before the snow falls, we'll have a period of some freezing rain there late Saturday night into Sunday morning, so could have a layer of ice on the roadways and then the snow falling on top of it. Pretty dicey as far as any travel conditions are concerned there for the day on Sunday, and that's why we do have that winter storm watch that starts at midnight for your Saturday night and continues all the way through midnight for your Sunday night time frame. Temperatures tumbling into the 20s there for your Saturday night, so we'll start off with some rain there initially Saturday evening. and then changing over to a wintry mix of some freezing rain, snow, and even some sleet by late Saturday night as those temperatures drop back into the mid-20s. During the course of your Sunday, pretty much everything, mixed bag of precipitation expected, freezing rain, snow, and sleet at times. Again, as far as the snow accumulations, at least to how it's looking at this point for Greenville-Spartanburg, close to that 2 to 4 inch range, but to higher totals just off to our northwest, especially in those upper elevation areas. And then finally, some quieter conditions returning by Monday with 40s for high temperatures there, so should help to thaw things out across the region. But yeah, our main time frame of concern right now, late Saturday night throughout much of the day on Sunday with that wintry mix of precipitation.
So the question, and we kind of lucked out with this, I think, Michael, because a lot of folks, of course, are going to have Monday off, so they may be able to just avoid all of that. That'll mean fewer accidents for sure. What is it going to look like Monday morning for folks who have to go to work? Well, not school, they aren't going to school, but to work. Yeah.
Well, Monday morning, we're still going to have those temperatures probably in the 20s and 30s out there for the first part of the day, finally warming to some lower 40s by the afternoon. So that should help to thaw out the roads at least later in the day. It will stay dry and sunny there on Monday, so the sunshine should also help things out there as well. But we still could have some icy roadways out there, at least to start on your Monday with any untreated roadways out there. But, yeah, definitely those the sun and the temperatures helping us throughout the course of Monday coming up.
For those of us who have to return on Tuesday, I know myself and producer Tim were talking about how we're going to get here, and we both decided we'd have Lee pick us up in the four-wheel drive.
There we go.
Is he going to need to do that, do you think? Or are we going to be able to get in, or what?
Yeah, I think you should be able to get in with the four-wheel drive, but you want to plan a lot of extra time there if your travels do involve the Sunday into a Sunday night time frame. But, yeah, once we do get through about the midday on Monday time frame, definitely improving those roadways. And thereafter, a pretty quiet stretch of weather into Tuesday as well, sunshine and lower 40s for highs. Looks like our next round of precipitation more in the form of rain than by Wednesday night into Thursday of next week with the mid-40s for high temperatures there on Thursday. But, yeah, travel not to the best idea there, especially on Sunday and into your Sunday evening time frame.
Okay. So I'm hoping they got this thing cleaned up by Tuesday. That's where I am when I'm
I think even later into the day on Monday, again, that sun is going to help. Despite the temperatures hovering right around the lower 40s, with lots of sunshine, it really helps to warm up those roadways even above the 40-degree range, you know, with ample sunshine.
Amen to that. Michael Caro, again, he is with Weatherology. Really appreciate you getting us ready for the weekend.
Yeah, got to be prepared for it, and stay tuned. We could still have a little tweaks to the forecast the next 24 hours or so, so definitely want to check back for that latest forecast as we get closer to the event here.
Okay. From what I'm hearing from what you're saying, just pretty much go ahead and start the Netflix binge Saturday night and just don't come out again until Tuesday, right?
That sounds like a good plan. Yeah, that would be the safest bet. Yep.
Yeah. All right. That's what I'm going to do then, Michael. Thank you so much for your phone call and for keeping us on track with the weather. So I'm going to be out of town this weekend. My husband will be in town. So I'm hearing the kids. They're so excited. I'm going to go out and play. And I'm thinking, you can do the laundry. I'll be out of town. You can clean up the mess. Yeah. Because it's not like up north here when you go out in the snow here. And go out in the snow here involves a lot of mud, usually the orange kind that stains. And that can make a big mess. So that's what you're dealing with this weekend. So going to be interesting. And I've been saying this for a couple of days to see how or if this affects the supply chain situation to begin with. As if folks always running out and buying whatever so they don't have to go back out again, that's fine normally. But a lot of these shelves are already bare for certain things, not for everything, obviously, but for certain things. I'm just wondering how the snow rush that always goes with that in the south with snow is going to affect the already bare shelves and what they'll look like by middle of week next week. I guess if Joe's not worried, I'm not going to be. Texture rates. Tara, this will be another 6 inches of green snow. LOL. Another texter writes, Tara, the pandemic will not be over until the Democrats have total control. But I think that was the plan. But it's really hurting them right now. And they don't like to be hurt in the polls. They like everyone to love them. Texter writes, Tara, I think most of those who took the jabs were out of fear, not trust. Another texter writes, Tara, people with dementia are prone to bouts of anger. Maybe all those old lifetime politicians have dementia? Possibly. Another texter writes, Tara, I thoroughly enjoyed Tom Cotton reading Chuck Schumer's speech to protect the filibuster from a few years ago. Yeah, that was great. Another texter writes, hey, Tara, are you trying to use morals, logic, and reason with leftists? These are people that say killing babies is not murder. Men marrying men is a right from God, and communism / socialism is great. Good luck with that. Yeah. We'll see. Meanwhile, I wanted to read this to you. I thought this was really interesting, a really well-written piece. It's pretty short by Issues and Insights, which is a great little publication. It's about Boris Yeltsin, and it's about shortages everywhere, the kind we're seeing now. I don't know how many of you remember him. If you're my age, you certainly do. Just before the holiday, they write, White House spokesperson Jen Psaki took to the press room podium to laughably brag about how we've saved Christmas because President Joe Biden supposedly fixed the nation's supply chain crisis. She said that President Biden recognized the challenge early, acted as an honest broker to bring key stakeholders together and, you know, fix the mess. That was good enough for the mainstream media, they write, which had turned a blind eye to the supply chain problems once Biden claimed he had had a plan to fix it. Except that less than 3 weeks later, hashtag Bare Shelves Biden is trending on Twitter. Shoppers are sharing pictures of empty store shelves, and the media are being forced, however reluctantly, to report that shortages are actually a worsening problem. They write that shortages are everywhere. The CEO of Grandisti's supermarket chain is warning of meat and egg shortages. The Daily Beast reports that shortages of glass and other materials continued, coupled with extensive shipping delays and skyrocketing freight costs. So they go on to list, the possible situation with this and how bad it will be. What's really interesting, though, is they go on to talk about Boris Yeltsin and how he came to America at one point, and how it was a turning point for him. And I had never heard this story before. I thought it was fascinating that he came here, and this was actually recorded by his biographer. He came here, was walking around in total shock, because he was from the Soviet Union and he had never seen anything like our grocery stores. And how remarkable that was for him, because he'd never seen such prosperity. He'd never seen anything like it. I'll read it to you when we come back. All right, here it is. I want to read this piece too. In 1989, Boris Yeltsin visited a Randall's supermarket in Texas. It was a turning point for him, not just in his political career, but in his life. He was astonished at what he saw: shelves, coolers, freezers bursting with groceries. Were the late Russian president to visit today, he would find many of America's stores having a lot in common with those of the centrally planned Soviet Union of the time, where the inventory was chronically low, the customers morose. According to reports of the day, Yeltsin, then still a member of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, roamed the aisle of the Randall's grocery store in Texas, nodding his head in amazement, declaring, quote, even the Politburo doesn't have this choice, not even Mr. Gorbachev. He told his fellow Russians in his entourage that if their people, who often must wait in line for most goods, saw the conditions of U.S. supermarkets, quote, there would be a revolution, unquote. The Houston Chronicle said in a sort of Remember When article a few years back. Yeltsin's biographer said that afterward, Yeltsin was despondent and couldn't stop thinking about the plentiful food at the grocery store and what his countrymen had to subsist on in Russia. For a long time on the plane to Miami after the visit, he sat motionless, his head in his hands, Leon Aaron wrote in his biography, Yeltsin, A Revolutionary Life. Quote, what have they done to our poor people? Unquote, Yeltsin asked. On his return to Moscow, his biographer Aaron wrote, Yeltsin would confess the pain he felt after the Houston excursion. The pain for all of us, for our country, so rich, so talented, and so exhausted by incessant experiments. Wow, that last line really hit me. So pain for us all, for our country, so rich, so talented, so exhausted by incessant experiments. It just reminds me of today, the endless experiments that we are forced to live through to see if they work. All, of course, at the cost of prosperity, capitalism, and freedom. One more thing we have to try. Have to try. It'd be wrong if we didn't try. Why, people could die. Well, maybe they won't die. Like the shutdowns, the lockdowns, the masks. The ridiculous business limitations imposed even by our governor, Henry McDisaster. McVaxter, as he's known to some. The visit to the Randall's grocery store would have a profound effect on Yeltsin's worldview. The New York Times said, and it's Yeltsin obituary, that an aide reportedly saw that in the grocery store visit, quote, the last vestige of Bolshevism collapsed inside of the man. Today's U.S. consumers who, if not depressed, or at least frustrated by the state of affairs in stores in which they've come to expect to be filled with goods. The wide open spaces have even trended on Twitter under, quote, bare shelves Biden and empty shelves Joe. Wow. Biden declared problem solved 3 days before Christmas when he said packages are moving, gifts are delivered, shelves are not empty. Yet here we all are well into 2022 and store shelves are looking worse than a Christmas stripped of its ornaments. I think they mean Christmas tree, stripped of its ornaments and tossed on a curb in the middle of January. While we're better off than the USSR was on its best days, the trend doesn't inspire confidence. Were Yeltsin still alive, they write, he would feel the pain for an America that's performing far below its history as well as its capabilities. Amen to that. We have so much here, we don't even realize how lucky that we are. And they've got a picture of Yeltsin here marveling at the grocery store in 1989. Something you take for granted. You know what I wonder about the supply chain situation? And I don't know, I'm not making a prediction, believe me. Is this a boil the frog kind of thing? Is this one of those things where, like, if it happened all of a sudden, you know, on Monday there's plenty of stuff there, and then by Friday it's, you know, mostly gone. People would be panicked, right? They'd be lining up in the parking lot. Have you seen the stores, the way they're depleting? Yeah, on Monday there was plenty of stuff. I just wonder if it's going so slowly that it's fooling people. And they're not stocking up, and that it just gets worse and worse and worse so gradually that by the time we get to panic situation, we kind of didn't see it coming. Make sense?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did. Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.